Welcome to Move Well to Live Well, a podcast where we discuss all things health and wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Belle Moody, a physical therapist specializing in pelvic health. This podcast is here for you to help educate, motivate, and elevate your life. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome to the Move Well to Live Well podcast. My name is Belle. I will be your host. Today's episode, I'm answering your questions that relate to really what everyone needs to know about exercise. It's just three questions, but they are not only things that, you know, people have asked, but like I have heard these over the years multiple times. Lots of misinformation about these three questions. So I think this will be really helpful for anyone and everyone to listen to. We shall begin with the first question. It is, I do have a weight loss goal. I've always heard cardio is what I should focus on to accomplish this. What type of cardio and how often should I be doing it to lose weight? So from a weight loss standpoint, I really encourage you to go and listen to episode, I'll put it in the show notes because I can't remember which one it is, but it was maybe like two episodes ago, The Truth About Weight Loss and Fitness Marketing. It goes into a lot of like the physiological things that you need to take into account for weight loss and just some really important things I think everybody needs to know if weight loss is a goal of theirs, because does it need to be? Does it need to be? And I kind of talk about things that how you can kind of self-monitor this yourself and see if it should be a goal or not. And overall, I just think that episode is really encouraging for a lot of people who chronically feel like they need to lose weight. So anyway, but if say you've listened to that episode and you're like, I am at a point in my life where of the things that I had talked about in the episode, I do, weight loss would benefit me. So let's shift our focus to cardio. I have also heard that over the years that like, if you're trying to lose weight, if you're trying to lose fat mass, cardio is the way to go. And now knowing what I know, that is incorrect, for multiple reasons. So mainly, I would argue that cardio should not be your primary focus. I can't answer this question specifically with like the type and frequency of cardio you should be shooting for, because I would really need more information about you individually. One thing that I would need to know is like, has exercise already been a part of your life? If it hasn't and you've been fairly sedentary, and I'm not saying that in a judgmental or shameful way at all, just the facts. If you've been pretty sedentary, like you go to work, you come home, you sit, there's no other movement outside of that, then that's something that we need to know, because jumping into large amounts of cardio with your lifestyle previously being sedentary, it's going to significantly increase the stress to your body and slow down your progress towards your weight loss goal for many reasons. I've done lots of episodes on what stress does to your body, especially from a progress standpoint, whether your goals are building muscle, whether it's becoming more flexible, whether it's weight loss, it increasing your stress to your body too much to where your body can't manage it well is going to hinder your progress towards whatever goals you have. So if you have been previously sedentary and you jump straight into cardio, it's really going to hinder your progress. So you might be taking steps backward instead of steps forward. So this is another reason I don't think that cardio should be your primary focus. Is for that very reason. Now, if exercise has been a part of your life, and but maybe you just haven't been seeing the results that you wanted to, or I'm trying to think of other scenarios, like you've been going on walks or whatever, we need to look a little bit more specifically into the frequency, how you feel after exercise, like how your body is responding, because that can give us really good information as to where to shift and change. So I'll get into that a little bit more about like kind of what your body needs for weight loss to occur. So another thing I would need to know is also, let me just pause and give a disclaimer. This is not medical advice. I'm just giving you, like, if this was somebody chatting with me, these were questions that would come up in conversation. If you are, if you are like in a weight loss point where you would like to seek medical advice, please go see a doctor. Once again, this is not medical advice. This is just information. So another helpful thing to keep in mind is, do you have any other health conditions such as high blood pressure, diabetes, anxiety, those type, and way more than that, like any type of health condition, like that should be very much taken into account and considered when planning your exercise routine, especially if you're starting large amounts of cardio, because certain conditions can have major interactions with one another that we need to be mindful of. So especially if you have a cardiovascular condition related to the heart, so this would be high blood pressure, this would be maybe you have a heart murmur, maybe you have a really high resting heart rate, that should be considered when planning your exercise routine. And honestly, cardio is not the way that we should go either in that scenario. And then if you have a cardiovascular condition, your strength training also needs to be modified to protect or to be mindful of blood pressure, of your heart rate, to protect your cardiovascular system. So anyway, if there's anything like that going on, there needs to be modifications, things taken into account. You could talk with your doctor about this. You could talk with, if you're actively seeing a PT, you could talk with your PT about this. We go over exercise planning largely through PT school and are taught how to manage exercise with chronic conditions, because that's primarily the patients that we see. So that would be a really great person to talk to and get guidance on if you have other conditions. So cardio-based exercise can just be, it can be very demanding and stressful to the body. And like I mentioned earlier, this can be totally counterintuitive to weight loss and slow your progress down, which it seems like it would be the opposite. Because the thought process is that, like, with your heart rate being higher, you burn more calories. So then we go to the calories in versus calorie out theory. If I'm burning more calories than I'm putting in, then I'll lose weight. But there, anyway, that is not quite the case, because now we're finding out that there's so many other interactions that are happening in the body with hormones, with your muscle mass metabolism, that type of thing. And so focusing on calories and heart rate is not necessarily ideal or the most efficient way towards weight loss or progress, whatever your progress is that you're looking for. So cardio can also be damaging to certain body structures like ligaments and tendons if you're not strengthening to support the impact of your cardio. So I really encourage people to think about, like, what type of, I've probably, there should be like a counter, ding, 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 how many times I say cardio this episode. But you should really keep in mind with what type of cardio you're going to implement. If it's running, okay, that's great. But with running, it is pretty high impact to the joints. So what we need to do is make sure that you're strong enough to absorb and handle that force, and at what rate your body can handle. Like, not only are you strong enough, but from an endurance standpoint, during that one time that you're running, but also throughout the week that you're running. So anyway, if you are doing that type of cardio, if you're running, you need to be cross training, strength training, to support those structures that are static, is what we call. So like your ligaments, the connective tissue in your body, they don't budge, I guess is the way. Like, once they're stretched or once they're broken, they're broken. ACLs, MCLs, whatever it might be, through your ankle. So we need to have really, really strong dynamic stability through your muscles to take over the force that your connective tissue is having to hold on to. And once again, with connective tissue, once it's like, you know, once it's been damaged, it doesn't repair afterwards like a muscle will. So anyway, where was I going with that? I'm totally off off track. Okay, a great form of cardio that we have implemented at the studio is rebounding. There's lots of benefits from rebounding. Now, there is impact to an extent, because I mean, when you're landing on the trampoline and bouncing back up, like, that is some sort of force happening, but it's much less than hitting a hard ground over and over again, like with running. Biking is a great option. Swimming is a great option for lower impact cardio activities. The only thing with biking is, like, you run into potential dangers of, like, having a wreck or fall, you know, balance stuff. So anyway, just keep in mind, be very mindful with what your body likes. For me, running is my body does not do well with. I almost always end up with shin splints. But the thing is I'm not taking the time to do the proper, like, warm ups and cool downs when I've run in the past. And so now if I started it back, I probably would be much better because I know what to do. But that's another thing. It's like, that, do you want to take the time? That's totally fine if you do, but make sure you have a really, really strong strength training, warm up, cool down that's going to help protect you. So, now back to the, like, weight loss scenario. Healthy and balanced weight loss requires strength training and an increase in muscle mass. This is going to boost your metabolism and, among many, many, many other things, it'll help with your metabolism, with your hormones. The more muscle mass you have, it helps with your bone health. Gosh, it just super, super, super great to have, a really good, strong amount of muscle mass. So healthy and balanced weight loss requires strength training and an increase in muscle mass. It requires a balanced diet and adequate hydration. I'm not even going to go into anything food related because it's not my forte. I know a little bit, but we have a great episode with Emily Waters, a registered dietitian and nutritionist, who shares really great info about, like, food and that type of thing. So I would encourage you to listen to that. So balanced diet and adequate hydration. It also requires, weight loss requires restful sleep, so you're recovering well, and it requires managed stress. So if you've got those four things going, I would encourage you to focus on that. Totally, like, don't worry about cardio. You can get that through a nice little brisk walk. You can even get cardio during strength training if you're trying to lift your heart rate. The primary goal of cardio activity should be to strengthen your heart. We have a major epidemic of heart disease throughout the U.S. And so having a strong heart will increase your longevity, reduce your risk for other disease. So anyway, those activities, walking, running, rebounding, that's what we should be focusing on, is like having a really strong heart that can pump less and be more efficient. And that can be accomplished with cardio activities, like once to twice a week. Anyway, there's that. Okay, I hope that answers that question. I would say don't focus on cardio and focus on those other four things that I said: strength training, increasing your muscle mass, balanced diet, hydration, sleep, and managing your stress. And you will very much see results from that. So next question is, what is the best practice for resuming exercise after illness? So illnesses can have varying severity of effects on the body. It really depends on like what type of illness you've had, or how long you felt sick for, how long you were in the bed for, like lots of things go into how it affects your body. But the key to avoiding injury, further exhaustion, burnout, and even impairing your healing process after an illness is to really lean into the way that you're feeling. Turn up your listening ears and listen to what your body is signaling to you. So one thing you can listen for is shortness of breath, especially post-respiratory illness. Like if you've had a like bronchitis, a sinus infection, flu, COVID, that type of thing. Shortness of breath tells you that your systems are not working adequately to support the amount of activity that's happening. And so, if you are getting short of breath, you can't catch your breath, like that type of thing, that's too much. We need to pull back a little bit. Now, I'm not going to get into the specifics. Sometimes, like, okay, maybe I am getting into the specifics, but like when I did one of my clinicals in the hospital, we used shortness of breath as a measure for their progress. So, you know, if we walked 100 feet and they got short of breath at the 50 feet mark, but the next time they were able to walk 100 feet without any shortness of breath, then okay, we're seeing improvements in their cardiovascular endurance. We're seeing improvements in the way their muscles are functioning. So sometimes it can be good to push into that just a little bit. Like you can't just quit once things get a little bit difficult, but you also don't want to be in that shortness of breath for prolonged periods of time, if that makes sense. So if you are getting shortness of breath and you have just had the flu a couple days prior to that, slow it down, really tone it back. Like your body's not ready to be doing that type of activity yet at that level. So bump it down until your shortness of breath goes away. That's what I would say. And another thing is just avoiding fatigue. So in normal circumstances, when you're well and haven't been sick, pushing towards fatigue or muscle tiredness with repetitions can improve your endurance. That's kind of the same thing that I was mentioning earlier, like pushing into a little bit of shortness of breath, and then the next time is going to be even easier. It's the same way with your muscular endurance and strength training. If you're pushing into it just a little bit, and then the next time you're going to be stronger. We've got to get the muscle overload in that way. But post-sickness, that muscle fatigue is another signal that's saying like, hey, this is too much. I'm not handling this well right now. Let's tone it. Let's bring it back a notch. So this can put further stress on your body systems and slow down your healing process if you're really fatiguing your muscles with exercise. So overall, just listen to your body signals that you're experiencing too much physical stress, or if you're working out post-sickness and you're experiencing physical stress, like if the class just feels, I'm thinking studio classes, like if you're taking a class and it is like, oh my gosh, this is unreal how difficult this is, it's, you know, that's, let's bring it back a notch for sure, because your body, it is amazing. I can't remember the exact, I was tested on this at one point, I know, so I should remember, but I can't remember the exact like percentage that your muscle mass drops for every day that you're like in the bed. It's crazy. It is crazy. And so, anyway, keep that in mind. With sickness, your activity level has just dropped significantly. You've probably lost muscle mass, and your body just is not going to operate like it normally does. So, take it really easy and just listen for what's going on, and then you can bump up gradually. There's no shame in that. So, and question number three is, sometimes I'm really sore after exercising, other times I'm not at all. When I'm not sore, does that mean I didn't accomplish anything? No, not at all. You have, I understand where this came from. It's like you worked out, you're sore, you're like, oh my gosh, I must have done a lot. Like I feel like that's also been kind of a narrative similar to the cardio conversation that has been going on forever, that I know of. So, but there is new research out that suggests that muscle soreness does not correlate to an increase in muscle strength or muscle growth. So basically, you can't use the feeling of muscle soreness to quantify how much you've done or what you've accomplished in your workout. And honestly, this is important to know, that there's not a lot that we know about muscle soreness. I remember in college, that was the main thing, is they were like, well, we just really, when we were in my exercise phys class, we would talk about it, and they're like, well, this is like what we know for sure, but honestly, we don't really know even why it happens, why muscle soreness happens. So I never got like a clear answer, and I still don't have a clear answer of what's going on. There are some theories about what causes it. Some say it's related to lactic acid. Then there was some that's like, no, it's not. Anyway, so I don't want to hang my hat on something that has no solid research or understanding about how I reflect on how much I've accomplished during my exercises and during my exercise, like classes, whatever. And I don't want you to do that either, because then that can be really discouraging. If you're becoming adapted to your strength training workout, but you're still progressing in your endurance, you're progressing in your resistance that you're able to do, but you're not getting sore, why then, if you feel discouraged, you shouldn't feel discouraged about that, because you're still, anyway, progressing. So, if you want something to quantify your progress in a workout or class, the best way is to monitor your endurance. So how long you can do something, if that's improving, if you're able to hold your plank, you started holding a plank at 20 seconds, now you can hold it for 40. Like, that is a great sign. And once you get to 40, you're becoming adapted to it, so you're less sore from the plank. Anyway, and then another thing is your strength growth. So how much resistance you can tolerate. Are you able to, and I'm using the studio as an example, like, are you able to use you started with the green band for stuff, but now the gray band is, you can keep it, you know, throughout all of this particular series. Or you started being able to do one push-up, now you can do four. Those type of things, that's resistance-based. And will really can help quantify your progress. If you're a person that, numbers are, I guess, not the best for you to kind of like hone in on or focus on, then I wouldn't worry about that. I wouldn't worry about any of that. Just notice how you feel. If you're feeling better, if you are more energized at the end of the day, like, those type of things are great ways to see progress as well versus muscle soreness. So never think that if you're not sore after something that you didn't do anything, because that's not the truth. Once again, they just don't know how muscle soreness works. There are theories, but it's not confirmed. So, well, that's it. Those are the three questions I have for y'all today. And we have some really great guests on the horizon. So stay tuned. If you'll like this podcast, I don't think that's an option. If you'll subscribe, it might be an option. If you'll subscribe to the podcast, share it with a friend, I'd so appreciate it. And yeah, and I will talk to y'all next week.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. You can meet us and work out with us in person at the Studio Bar and Wellness located in Starkville and Lewisville, Mississippi, or move with us online at www.thestudiobarandwellness.com on Studio Stream. Our goal is that you move well to live well.